Gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all accounted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
After hearing our scripture this morning, I don't know about you, but I usually take a big goal. Who would follow such a way, this kind of discipleship? It certainly isn't for the light of heart. Christ says things about discipleship that we might not want to hear. Goal. According to him, true discipleship means that we're not to be afraid of anything, that we're to be fearless. True discipleship means that we don't deny God or Jesus no matter what. Christ even says he's not here to bring peace, but rather the sword. A man against his father, a daughter against her mother. So discipleship essentially means that we're supposed to put God above even our family. It's quite a tall order for anybody. And then Christ goes on to say something even more astounding. We're supposed to take up the cross. For whoever loses their life
for Christ will find it. Christianity, according to this, isn't the same as joining the country club. It's not just a once-a-week commitment to make us feel better, a place to make business connections. Wait just a second. Can people hear me? Okay. I just found out that this is on red. And so I think we're on this. Is that right? Okay. Sorry about that. It's not just a once-a-week commitment to make us feel better, a place to make business connections, a place where we sing songs. When Jesus puts scripture this way, it seems more like joining the Marines than the country club. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, Corporal William Kyle Carpenter received the Medal of Honor from the President. Carpenter, while serving in Iraq, lunged toward a grenade willingly and deliberately to save his fellow Marine. It was part of his training. At any cost, without delay, and within seconds, he was willing to die for a Marine. And he ended up absorbing the brunt of the blast with his body. After a miraculous recovery and 2.5 years of surgery, he became the 8th living recipient of the medal for service in Afghanistan and Iraq. The Medal of Honor is the nation's highest military honor. It was his instinct, his devotion, his training to save this fellow Marine at any cost, even if it meant his life. And similarly, that's what Christ is telling his disciples in this passage, that we're called to risk everything when we follow Christ. Devotion to God above everything, even our own lives, even our families. So if this scripture causes you to pause, causes you to gulp, I wouldn't be surprised. You might even decide to reconsider what you've committed to. Now, if we take a closer look at what's happening in Scripture, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples as he sends them out. He's equipping them, preparing them for what they're about to encounter. It's referred to, as some scholars say, his missionary discourse. And when they go out, they are sure to face adversity because they're going to share Christ's message of God's kingdom to a world that thrives on different things than what he's saying, on power and greed, idols, sex, and corruption. They're telling people to lift up the poor and the oppressed, to care for the imprisoned, to help the outcast, to be a voice to the voiceless. Certainly it's hope. But this message is bound to draw controversy. A message that may even make family members rise up against family. You could probably imagine who the voiceless and oppressed are today. Those with different color skin, different beliefs, different accents, the elderly are even marginalized. Paul Findlay wrote a book many years ago of those tired of being silent, those who felt marginalized. It was entitled, Silent No More, Confronting America's False Images of Islam. Sharing Christ's message in God's kingdom. It's about loving all, no matter their religion or creed, no matter who they are. Now, in a world that operates on power and greed and sometimes a lot of fear of the other, this kind of message doesn't bring peace, but it may bring the sword. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for the harsh reality of going out into this world. One scholar says, while family disruption will surely take place, Jesus is not against the family. Rather, there will be times when allegiance to Jesus causes a crisis of loyalty and forces a decision. The gospel shakes up values, rearranges priorities, and reorients our goals. It's not like Christians aspire for these things to happen. It's not like someone carrying out God's message hopes for adversity. But if we're called to share by God to share this radical message of grace and hope and love, then we're likely to face a decision of where our priorities lie. So at least Jesus has prepared his disciples and us, just like the Marines did for Corporal Carpenter, for when the going gets tough, we know what to choose. Do we choose family above Christ? Would we rather risk peace for choosing Christ? Are we willing to lose our life for Christ? Be warned, if you follow the path of discipleship, it may lead to difficult things, but no, you won't do this alone. You're not alone on this journey. Christ has certainly already paved the way. He lived in the world, but not of it. He doesn't expect us to do something he's unwilling to do. He stood up for the least. He forgave sinners. He healed the sick and loved the unlovable. God is with us on this journey. He even knows how many hairs are on our heads. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian, participated in the German resistance movement against Nazism. And he wrote a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. And in this book, Bonhoeffer writes, "If we answer the call to discipleship, where will it lead us? What decisions and partings will it mean? To answer this, we will have to approach Jesus, a road to boundless mercy." Now, Bonhoeffer shares the cost of discipleship. It's the difference between understanding cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. Cheap grace means forgiveness of sins as a general truth. Cheap grace lets the Christian live like the rest of the world. Cheap grace is preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without the church discipline. Grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Costly grace, on the other hand, is a treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. Costly grace is the pearl that the merchant will sell all his goods for. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a man his life. And it is grace because it gives man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin. And it is grace because it justifies the sinner. It is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. What has cost God much cannot be cheap to us. Gulp. Later in life, Bonhoeffer was arrested by Nazi authorities. He was imprisoned and then executed. He took up the cross. In Bonhoeffer's biography, the camp doctor who witnessed the execution wrote this, "I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer kneeling on the floor praying fervently to God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer." At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the few steps to the gallows, brave and composed, fearless. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Now, certainly, we aren't all called to die for our faith. But discipleship does call for us for costly grace, not cheap grace. As hard as it may be, I suspect that is why we find ourselves here in this place this morning. It's why we gather around the foot of the cross here today. Because we recognize that Christ's grace is worth giving up everything. We know that costly grace is more important than cheap grace. And even though we love our families dearly, we recognize that Christ's costly grace is more astounding, more powerful. And Christ's costly grace is even more important than even our own lives because it gives us life. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be his disciples. And as much as it might cause us to gulp, I imagine that is what Jesus wants us to recognize as followers. As we go from here out into this world, that God's kingdom is worth risking everything. Worth risking everything for grace and love and hope. When we follow Christ, no one anticipates or desires to face adversity, but Christ calls us to live into costly grace, to make Christ our top priority above everything else. When Moses was called from the burning bush, he had no idea that it would mean that he would face such a stubborn Pharaoh. He had no idea he would lead the Israelites for 40 years into the desert. But in his calling and throughout his life, his top priority was God. Similarly, Paul had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. His journey included both opposition from Peter and the apostles, and many others. It led to being arrested and flogged and imprisoned and shipwrecked. He didn't go out hoping for these things to happen, but his priority and his goal was always to share Christ's costly grace. Jesus never says discipleship is easy. We're sent out into a world to share God's kingdom, to a world as messy as ours, where we will likely face adversity. And God is with you. And that's our challenge, to take a big gulp, but to be fearless and to go out into this world and turn it upside down for Christ. It's exactly what Christ did. It's exactly what Moses and Paul and Pastor Bonhoeffer did. And it's what Christ calls us to do. And when the going gets tough, it's worth the cost. As Reverend Tom Long writes, to give one's life away in the name of Christ is to be given all that makes life free, holy, and good. So today, take that big gulp and go out into the world being fearless, sharing Christ's costly grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.